I hope we missed that, Dan. Yeah, I got you. I'm looking at your face there on QRZ, by golly. And I can barely see that because my eyes are still fully dilated from this morning's visit to Clemson Eye Clinic. I've been talking to KO4LAO, Jim, and he used to fly the KC-135s and DC-10s back a few years, and I was thinking, we were talking about different things, and there was a shoot down near Sakhalin Island, and I know I've got cards from there over by Russia and Korea over in that area. But I just wanted to apologize to him because I was wrong, because I thought it was an RC-135 that got shot down. In reality, the Russians mistook it for one of our spy planes, and they shot down KAL-007 civilian airliner. It was a 747. I imagine you remember that. And it got too close, and they went up there, and then they lied about it. And they actually found the black boxes themselves off the Kamchatka Peninsula or wherever it crashed at there. And they kept them for 10 years before the Soviet Union failed. And then they finally give them back to us. My opinion's never changed. If you trust a Russian or you trust a Chinese, that's where two fools met.
And it went down on that airliner. His name was Billy Hong. Billy was my Taekwondo instructor at Clemson University back in the day. Billy was a camp follower during the Korean War, apparently followed the GIs around, shined their shoes. A lot of them remembered it fondly after the war, and years later I understood it. At one of their reunions, they started talking about Billy. Wonder what happened to Billy, and they made some inquiries, and he was still alive and still in Korea. Only now he was a fourth or fifth degree black belt instructor in Taekwondo. And they pulled their money and brought him over for a visit, and bless Pat, they sponsored him for a green card and, papers, and he eventually became a U.S. citizen. And Billy was headed back to Korea on the Korean Airlines KAL-007 to see his family, and the Russians splashed him into the China Sea. So it was a real sad day for everybody. The world was back then. The airliner actually may have been outfitted with photographic equipment by the CIA, and the Russians knew it was coming. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't put it past them, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was a Cold War, and the people were shooting for every kind of advantage they could get. It cost Billy his life. And I read a recent write-up about Billy. It turns out that about the time he came over here, he was a senior instructor for the Korean, South Korean CIA. So you never know with those spooks, go ahead.
They didn't know such agency. Well, that put civilians at risk. There were 76 passengers, 23 crew, because there was a bunch of crewmen deadheading, and six of them are deadheading anyways. And Congressman Larry McDonald from Georgia was on that and got killed. But it was mostly the majority of the people on that. There was 105 from South Korea and 62 from the United States and various 28 from Japan. But it looks like the South Koreans lost most of the people. I suppose, that could have been possible, but I don't think it was ever proven, and the Russians found the black boxes. And if they could have laid that on us, it looks like they would have, but there's a lot of things that we don't hear. Well, I'm sorry for your loss there, Daniel. That's That's a sad thing. I remember in the Philippines that if you wanted to pay a small fee, when we were stationed there, there was Filipino people that would shine your shoes, make your bed, and the whole nine yards, and you didn't have to mess with any of it.
W2T Mobile.
W2T. I think I heard you on the South Carolina Single Sideband that other night. This is 87LT in the group.
Yeah, you probably did, Daniel. You probably did. And if you're on there tomorrow night, you'll probably hear me again, because I'll be the net control again. And hello, Tom, again. Oh, well, I've got all my grocery shopping done and got everything else except for one thing done today, and now I'm headed home. And I just don't feel like trying to go to Greer to get a printer. Go ahead, Daniel.
W2UT87LT in the group. Just was going to make note to you, boy, the conditions were beautiful last night. Backed off the RF gain a little bit, and there was just practically no noise. The noise floor was really low. Of course, I admit I've put ferrite cores and filters on all the wires coming in and going out of my rig and my linear, so I think that's helped a good bit too. But anyway, it was good copy maybe it was night before last, and then maybe last night it was going back downhill again. But we've had some good quality nights. Back over to you, Tom. N0TR87LT in the group.
Our fine business. I contacted the Western Kansas sideband net last night on 160, and it was pretty noisy, but that's not unusual for 160. And my radio is a 590. It's not one of the super new models, but it does a good job. But Daniel, on that flight, the VOR was down in Alaska when they took off, and so they had deviated off course with their inertial navigation system, and apparently it remained off course the whole way. And HF transmissions are able to carry a longer distance than VHF, but they're vulnerable to interference and static. So I think the most of it could have been attributed to pilot error in respect to that. But still in all, with all of the things that were available as they approached that coastline, they could have intercepted that thing. And I know from experience, you see a 747 on a radar scope, it's going to look like a battleship compared to anything else. And then they went ahead and shot it down, and we actually had audio recordings of that one. I remember that, and knew they were lying, but it didn't do you a lot of good. But at any rate, I just wanted to apologize to Jim and tell him I was mistaken. But they did mistake it for the RC-135 that I was thinking got shot down. Anyways. Well, Rusty, it's a beautiful day out there. I got the blinds all closed because my eyes are still virtually dilated fully, and they're not going down very fast, which doesn't make me a happy camper. Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango, this is in 0TR.
Understand that, and they're putting up these cookie-cutter houses over here in this subdivision. With slab floors, and they had nothing but the ground set up for the concrete last week, and today they've almost got five of them framed up and half number six. So, I'm wondering about the quality of those homes when they get built. So, remind me not to live in them. Of course, they're in a valley too, in a hole too, so it would be a good place for antennas anyway. But, yep. Oh, and it is nice out here. It was supposed to get up to 46 today. I don't know. My thermometer in the car is still saying 37. And I'm doing the 45 miles an hour that's on this road over here, and I've got some idiot in a big old Toyota pickup truck tailgating me. And if he thinks it's going to make me go faster, it ain't. So, you know, it is what it is. And this is a nice whole section of road that is no passing. Double yellow line both directions because you got three curves, four curves, and a bridge. See what they do there. Oh, well, we'll see what he does. I wouldn't bet dollars to donuts that he doesn't try to come around me shortly, but if he does, he'll meet somebody coming the other way. WU2T Mobile. Go ahead, Daniel.
Me and the group. This is 87LT. Yeah, it's frustrating when people push you like that in traffic. Actually, I think driving, the quality of driving has gotten much worse over the past few years. Especially now that I'm walking a good bit on an almost daily basis to try to preserve a little bit of health and so forth. And over here right in the neighborhood, it's all marked 25 miles per hour, this neighborhood. And I'll tell you, it reminds me, back when I was a National Park Ranger and I was working at a Kings Mountain Battleground, which back then was an exclusive federal jurisdiction. The Highway Patrol couldn't come in. The sheriff had no jurisdiction. It's interesting. But we were it, and we were just one day, it was just a racetrack. People coming through a 35, and they were just blowing through. So I got one of my ranger buddies and went out. Stopped this guy that was speeding us. I told my friend, who later became a U.S. Marshal, I said, Jeff, why don't you handle this? And Jeff was a real great big guy. And he walked up to the guy, and I was sort of backing him up, and he got his license and said, look here, said, who do you think you are, Ben Hur? He said, you're going to have to find some other place to have your chariot races. I think he let him go with a warning, but I was like, well, now, I don't know what kind of bedside manner that is, but I guess that gets the message across. Well, I'm here at the house here. I'll turn it back to you two guys. Yeah, Rusty, you got to watch it. They'll run up on you and cause you to have an accident and then claim it was your fault. Back to you, Tom. I'm signing. You guys have a good day. It was a pleasure talking to you and reminiscing about a bad time in history there. But there was a... I will say this. I remember when that T3 was forced down on Hanoi Province or Hanoi Island or whatever it was by the Chinese. You know, they had to destroy all of the stuff in there before the Chinese got it. And I had a buddy of mine at the time. I was at Rutherford, I think, and he was an ex-Navy SEAL, NSA operative, and that sort of thing. And I said that it was really, really kind of a tremulous time. There was a lot of, everybody was just kind of waiting to see what would happen. Maybe it was the Koreans. No, I think it was the Chinese. And I said, Jim, I guess some of your old SEAL buddies are probably laying in the belly of a submarine off the coast there in case they're needing. And he just looked at me for a while and says, well, I suspect they're already on shore. I said, in communist China? And he just looked at me and said, Dan, I've been to communist China. I said, okay. All right, guys, have a good one. This back to you, Tom, to sign, take the ribbon. So as far as I'm concerned, that's 87LT clear.
Fine business. Great talking to you. And, yes, that would not surprise me. that's what Navy SEALs do best. Counterinsurgency. Anyways, Daniel, you have a sound in your radio that sounds like a capacitor that's motorboating, if that makes any sense to you. And it was there most of the time. I think Rusty would concur with that. But your audio was well over the top of that. 73 Daniel and Rusty, I'll be clear and listening for your final, and got to go do some things, and I'll catch you down the line. 87LT sign, W2T to take it. This is N0TR, 73.
Well, that worked out all the way around because I pulled in the driveway and I've got groceries to unload. So I'll talk to all of you later. Have a good one. 73 WU2T clear.